This is Your Call. I'm Rose Aguilar. Coming up tomorrow on our media roundtable, we'll discuss the DOGE Impact Tracker. It's a new project from Capital in Maine that documents the consequences of the Trump budget cuts. Then we'll discuss a New York Times investigation exposing the Trump family's businesses. Now we are discussing the Trump administration's war on the arts. On Friday, as the celebrated San Francisco International Arts Festival was underway, organizers learned that a $20,000 National Endowment for the Arts grant the agency made to fund the performance of Fairly Lucid Productions, an Australian theater company, would be immediately canceled. Festival organizers say notice of its termination came through an automated email message simultaneously sent to hundreds of artists and arts organizations throughout the country. Mission Local reports that at least 28 arts nonprofits in San Francisco lost grant money ranging from $15,000 to $100,000. They include Dance Mission Theater, The Roxy, and the San Francisco Contemporary Music Players. Our next guest, Andrew Wood, director of the San Francisco International Arts Festival, says Trump will not stop us. Hi, Andrew. Thank you so much for joining us.
Good morning, Rose. It's nice to be here. Thank you.
Well, it's great to have you, Andrew. Did you expect that you would lose some funding from the NEA, given what we knew about Trump and Project 2025?
When they told us that everything was on hold, we kind of worried that it might, and we made contingency plans. But our grant was funded under a whole different set of criteria, and they made the agreements under a different set of criteria. So I thought they may have been looking to see if there was anything overtly against Trump's new policies, but there wasn't really. So we didn't really know. But we were prepared to go ahead without it if we had to.
You know, when I've been talking to people about this, the question is, how are they so meticulous? How were they able to know that there was a San Francisco International Arts Festival in the first place and decide to cut $20,000 for this Australian theater company?
Well, I think it's part of Project 2025. They weren't thinking about us. They were thinking about democratic institutions in general and how they can destroy them. And, you know, our $20,000 grant is important to us, but in the grand scheme of things, it's not very much. And I think that's what we should be worried about, is they're going after all of the things that make this a democracy, and we have to fight them back, fight back on that. That's the issue. That's what I meant when I said we will fight back. Whether we get our grant back is not the issue here. It's how do we stand up to them in general, and how do the arts, you know, make common cause with all of the other sectors that are being attacked as well, and putting a united front on it.
What are you hearing from other arts organizations in the Bay Area and beyond? NPR had a piece about this too, about the Trump administration canceling these NEA grants. So many different groups are affected. Central Park Summer Stage in New York City, the Chicago Area Arts Education Nonprofit Open Studio Project. And for many of these organizations, you know, $20,000, $50,000 really does make a difference. So what are you hearing from various organizations?
Oh, it does make a difference. It makes a huge difference to us as well. And right. I'd much rather have the money. All I'm trying to say is that the issue is bigger than any one organization and any one organization's loss of funding. The issue is democracy, and we have to stay focused on that. And yes, we want our money back, and yes, we're going to fight to get the money back. And I think the organizations I'm speaking to, and I'm a member of California Presenters, we're members of the Association of Performing Arts Presenters, and there's other sort of discipline groups as well that are national. Everybody's shocked, everybody's worried, but everybody has resolve as well. And I think when one person gets upset, there's always somebody else saying, you know, just steady. Let's make sure that we're not panicking, but we're coming up with a plan. I mean, personally for me, we have to get the festival finished with first before I can help with any of the organizing. But that's what's happening now, is people are trying to figure out, you know, what is the best response as an industry, but also as an industry that, like I say, connects to other industries and other sectors. because we can't do this by ourselves. And I think the arts, you know, the arts are the arts can be the shock troops of any political movement if they're used strategically. And you know, performing artists, just by the nature of their business, spend a lot of time, you know, thinking about self-promotion, and they're very good at it. And we can enlighten any other struggle that we're a part of by being able to do that and raising awareness. And I'm thinking back to, if you remember the first dot-com crisis that was in San Francisco, and my friends, people like Sue Hester and Calvin Welsh and Eric Quesada, were, you know, they were protesting, and nobody was paying any attention to them. The media wasn't paying attention that much. There was just people being evicted, and nobody knew anything about it. And then Dancers Group, which used to be on 22nd and Mission, was going to be threatened with eviction. 100 artists painted themselves in white Buteau paint and marched down Mission Street. The cameras came from all over the world, and it was headlines. And that's what artists can do. We just need to be part of a bigger struggle, but we can really make it headlines, and we can really get a lot of exposure for whatever it is we're going to be doing. And that's what I think will be happening in the coming months.
You said that the ironic thing is that Fairly Lucid Productions artistic director Ben Noble's work was inspired by the courage and determination of an American family. The play that they will present at the festival, titled Member, focuses on a plague of murders of gay men in Sydney in the 70s and 80s. One of the victims was Scott Johnson, an American student from UC Berkeley. The police classified the killing as a suicide and refused to investigate, as they did with over 100 other such incidents. And if you'd like to see this performance, Member, you can see it tonight and tomorrow night at 7 p.m., Saturday 6:30, and then Sunday 2:30 p.m. at the Marsh Studio, and find information at the San Francisco International Arts Festival website. In our remaining minutes, Andrew, what is the role of artists during a time like this? What are you hearing from artists?
I think that the role of artists is, as I said, is to draw attention, is to, it's, you know, we're not, or they are not just entertainers. They have a job to be inspirational, to be instructional, and to raise consciousness, and to make people think, to put things into perspective. You know, an artist making a single gesture or saying a single word sometimes can make a whole world of difference. And I think that's going to be what's going to happen. Artists are going to be thinking about how can their creativity be used in furtherance of the greater good, which in this case is really simply put democracy. This country has not been under this much, and it has not been in this much danger for a very long time. And it's up to all of us, artists and all people, citizens and non-citizens alike, to come to the fore and defend the democracy of this country.
It's also important, given that the arts are now under attack, that we talk about how the arts is actually funded in the United States. Unlike many European countries, it's thought of as a public good, which comes from tax dollars. The arts in the United States relies on grants from federal agencies like the NEA. And there was an interesting report from the Canada Council for the Arts. They looked at how much funding per capita is spent on the arts in different countries. The United States is near the very bottom of the
This is
list.
true. It's true. I think they spend about as much on the arts in Canada as they do in the United States, and they've only got 10% of the population. So yeah, it's 10 to 30 times as much, and it's the same in most European countries. The United States doesn't value art in the same way, in that they don't see it as being part of the public priority. I mean, we're fortunate in San Francisco in that the city and county of San Francisco does, but most parts of the country, that's not the case. And you know, it's sad to say, well, yes, we lost the NEA, but it wasn't a killer blow, because the NEA didn't provide as much money as other governments in other countries do. But yeah, it's I think you know, we look at this as an opportunity. Maybe this is a time to start talking about why the arts are so valuable and why they should be funded. Because if we have to reformat the National Endowment for the Arts and other federal institutions, then it's an opportunity to try and make them better and stronger. I mean, yeah, I mean, well, they say if something doesn't kill you, it makes you stronger. So maybe we're in one of those moments right now.
Right.
That's where we find ourselves.
Yes, and we definitely have to do shows about this. Andrew Wood is director of the San Francisco International Arts Festival. It runs through Sunday. They have so many incredible performances. I hope you can check out the calendar. Be sure to share it with friends and family. It's sfiaf.org. Andrew, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Rose. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
And you can find more information about the festival at that website, sfiaf.org. So many incredible performances running through Sunday. Thanks to Kevin Vance for engineering today's show. And thank you so much for joining us. I'm Rose Aguilar. It's your call.